Yeah, man, I'm poaching. I'm saying it with chest. I'm poch in. The mentality monster in me wants to say poch out. The last 20 years of me wants to say poch out. Within the team, go and paint your name in that vein if you believe that you're world class. So
we get City in this final,
yeah,
we'll beat them.
Have you beat He looks down, he looks in the eyes, the pain in his eyes. Wow.
Say it again.
Say it right in the camera.
Believe
which
it.
One? Which
believe
one?
It. Yeah.
We've got a very special guest in the building today. Kelvin, what are you telling me, bro?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Very, very happy to be here supporting you guys' thing. I think it's been incredible, your rise. And yeah, man, I'm ready to chop it up about Chelsea. Everything else.
That's what we do, bro. That's what we do. Listen, Kelvin, true leader in this space. We're glad to have you on, bro. A real trailblazer in the community. Kelvin's done incredible work in this charity space with Grenfell, raised so much money. You've always, you know, been a guy that I've known, you know, and you've always been a guy that's just, you know, wanted to do more for the community, always trying to be yourself in this, any space that you are in. So bro, we're glad to have you on. For those that don't know, Kelvin, you're also the head of brand for Art of Football as well.
Yeah, I'm busy. Basically, like, what you're about to do is tell everybody about the 20 different things I do at any one given time.
Listen,
passionate about the community. Have always got into presenting as well, which has been a huge thing for me. So like being able to work with the likes of like Chelsea, Nike, big brands has been a huge learning curve for me. But then also, as you said, head of brand at Art of Football, which is like kind of an interesting space, the football fashion sort of,
yeah.
But I'm sure we'll get into it. Look at the fashionistas right here right now.
We're trying our
big logos. I'm sorry. I didn't get the brief, you know? No, I didn't get the brief today.
you're looking
just trying to come bright. But yeah, ready to chop it.
And also, Copa 90, bro.
Yeah, Copa, bro. Yeah, that was one of the first jobs that I got out of uni, actually. So okay. Like I left uni, did politics and international relations, and then I was like, I'm not interested in getting in politics, but I want to try and find a way to make it work within football.
Yeah.
And so just applied for a role at Copa and then got in as a community manager and then worked my way up, got a few presenting opportunities from there. And then that really kickstarted kind of my journey in football for the next like 8 to 9 years, basically.
No, proper, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know us, man. We're always looking in. Just smiling, man. Yeah. Man, I'm making real strides, bro, in this space.
Yeah, but you know it's, I mean, gone to the same school,
yeah,
right? And like a lot of people from South, everybody loved ball. Everybody lived and breathed it. Yeah. But trying to figure out a way to then work in the industry was a whole separate thing, right? Like how did you guys kind of find building this sort of community space?
Bro, it's interesting, you know, because when we first started, we kind of envisioned everything that's happening now. Like genuinely, I know a lot of people say we knew that like this was going to be this was going to be that, but we wanted our own platform to kind of just speak about what we wanted to speak about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then obviously now bringing it into a business, we then obviously had different layers, different branches that we obviously wanted to, you know, be in. And yeah, like it's been a journey, bro. What are you saying?
Yeah, just going on that really. It's just tough, like you said, we wanted to be footballers. And
that injury, bro.
That the injury is plaguing me now, man. God damn.
Yeah, we all wanted to be footballers, and yeah, if you told me a couple of years ago all the spaces, all the jobs, all the even this, I would have been like, no chance. Even what Flex does at United View, you wouldn't, 100%. You don't imagine them things being actual like jobs and making a living from it. So. Yeah. We all wanted to be footballers, but it's nice to be grown ups now and realize there's so much more to it. And more, I don't even know some of the stuff still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just so many opportunities, but it's nice. It's nice that we're all in that same field.
Yeah, defo.
100%.
And I just think also it's nice learning on the go as well. The community, the different people you meet, the different skills that you learn across the way, right? How to monetize the thing that you're doing, how to build a community and grow that community authentically, you know? your community that you guys are building, right? There have been some people that have been there from the jump that know you guys as brothers and online personalities, probably as much as you know yourselves in that sort of space. Yeah. But it's so important to recognize the power of that and to constantly be building with your community in mind. And so, yeah, man, when I saw that you lot asked me to come on, I was like, absolutely, man, I'll come and contribute my two words here and there, you know? But yeah, what we talking about first? What are you throwing at me first? Because I'm ready.
He can't even contain himself.
I'm ready, man.
You lot have been in the mud
so
long that you're actually the one that's itching to speak.
Cool.
That's crazy to me. But listen, we know, you know, Chelsea, for those that don't know, Chelsea fan. Yeah, you guys have been having a hard time of it, man, recently, man.
Yeah, it's been it's been tough. And like, I really like the fact that you used the word recently, because I think as far as you lot have known football, we've won it all nearly twice, you know? You know, we needed to take our foot off the gas. Bros, that you can dream now, you know?
Fares.
Can dream of a top four if that's going to happen for you ever.
And what
you
are you guys dreaming of? Mid-table? Nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant.
For the second year running as well.
Fares. No, honestly, yeah, we're in the mud, man. Listen, a lot has gone on at the club in the last couple of years, so much so that I think Netflix will run a documentary about the Abramovich era, the changeover, and what we're doing now, man. Yeah. Look, we all know in football that when you try to come in as a business owner and then buy a whole new squad, gut out all of the experience in the squad. I mean, you look at the players that left last summer, right? You had some experienced pros, Edouard Mendy, you had Kovacic, you had Jorginho, you had Kante, you had Koulibaly, you had all of these experienced, weathered professionals all decide that like this changeover was the time for them to leave the club. And then what you replace that with is a squad full of raw talent who are great on their day, but obviously need coaching and guiding into, you know, achieving consistency. To try and throw that group of players then into a very highly polarized fan base with a Premier League season that isn't slowing down for anyone and all of the other six are just getting better and better, it will create a situation where like there is a disconnect and there is a bit of chaos. But you know, it's about really sticking with, I think, the group of players that we think have a future at Chelsea. Not all of them are going to make it, to be honest with you, but yeah, man, it does mean that we've become the banter club. Which, look at you smiling now. Look at you smiling as well. You're loving life. You're loving it. I've been prepping for this moment.
Hey, bro. It's crazy because you would have thought that even if Chelsea fell off, they'll still be competing for titles. Like that was ingrained in your club, in my opinion. So now seeing how things are, obviously, you can still win a trophy this season. Like, that's not even ruled out. Maybe it still is a thing that's kind of ingrained because you guys are always there, like when it comes to trophies, etc. But I feel like that's gonna clear out in the next few years. I'm under the impression that things are only getting worse, in my opinion.
They have to get worse to get better. It's what I have to say. It's what I was saying. Also, I completely agree with you in the fact that we aren't, you know, looking any closer to getting success or any closer to getting titles. But then again, Chelsea built a brand for 20 years where if a manager wasn't good enough, we knew they were going. Players knew that they were going. There used to be this, remember when Mikel saying the helicopter used to come down Monday morning, you know, and that was that. You know what time it was. Yeah. So like the fans still carried that energy. Yeah. Like the fans have seen, like I said, seeing us win everything twice means that you have a certain expectation of the club that like when a manager comes in that maybe doesn't represent that, there's immediate trouble.
So what are you saying then? Are you Poch in? Are you Poch out?
Yeah, man, I'm Poch in. I'm saying it with chest. I'm Poch in. The mentality monster in me wants to say Poch out. The last 20 years of me wants to say Poch out. But I understand that when I looked at the team Poch had at the beginning of his Spurs era, he had a group of young players that like were very unproven. Dele Alli, MK Dons, you had Winks, you had a few of those sort of guys, Eric Dier, coming from teams where nobody really knew them. They were just raw talents. And then he took them on a journey over a period of time and turned them all into really, really good players. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to get all of that time at Chelsea because we just know how it goes. But for the group of young players right now, what they need is somebody that like can hold their hand a little bit, somebody that can encourage them, that can give them confidence, that can spot the bright sparks amongst the ones that probably don't have a future at Chelsea. And I think if we was to have a really strict manager now with this group of players, I don't think it would work well.
It's funny you say that because I feel like, although I agree that, yeah, Dele Alli, MK Dons, the type of player that you named when you, because for me, his best stint has been at Spurs.
Yeah.
So I kind of see that angle, but I also feel like it works both ways in terms of the ownership. And from what I'm going off what I've seen thus far, and it's felt like it's either a very, very promising young prospect that you're going to buy, or it is someone that is, we're going to splash 100 million on. That is maybe, you could, people will say Enzo's not worth that, but you could see at the time why it was, why that money was spent. So for me, that wasn't kind of the same instance at Spurs. Mm. Whereas you named the players you did, I don't see Todd signing a Dele Alli or signing a Harry Winks or signing a Vertonghen or an Alderweireld. So that's my worry. Because if that was the plan moving forward, then I'd probably agree with you because I like Poch.
Yeah.
But in terms of what I've seen thus far from the owner and how that can relate moving forward with the manager, I'm not sure that's it's the best marriage.
100%. And I think that's the bigger question, right? It's like, is Poch right for the project that Chelsea are building? Because we all know full well that like the people that have the say over the transfers right now is coming directly from the ownership. You know, they've brought in key figures from the likes of Brighton, you know, Win Stanley, like coming in and Joe Shields overseeing huge transfer decisions and almost making decisions on players that then allow them to arrive at the club and Poch then has to make them work.
Yeah.
And so really and truly, like, I don't know if Poch is right for the project. I don't know. I think they want quick success. I think they are looking at wonder kids from all over the world.
We've bought like...
FM. We bought like 5,000 Brazilian wonder kids.
Should have employed me.
You could still have a chance.
Hey, bro.
you could still have a chance.
I'll get them in check. I'm sure.
That's it. You just fixed the knee.
He knows, trust me. He knows.
Right. But like, that's the worry. And yeah, I think when the new ownership came in, like I'm talking to you about the players that we see on the pitch. What about the staff members that left? Like Marino immediately left. Peter Cech left. Makaleli left. You had the medical team that we had for the last 20 years immediately left. We had the US medical team come in. There's been so much structural change at the club that we have a load of staff members who are similarly to the players, raw talents with no real connection to Chelsea. They're building it as they go on.
And that's my worry, really. Like, In terms of the job he's done so far, I won't necessarily agree in terms if someone says, "Oh, for that reason alone, get him out or keep him in." But I don't see him as that type of manager to be able to deal with everything that you've just mentioned. In my opinion, I don't think he can get the best out of the group of players he's got at the minute. And if that transfer, if that's how your transfers are gonna be moving forward, I don't know if he can deal with that. If he's not dealing with it now, I don't think he can deal with it in the future, personally. So I feel that I'm not saying he should lose his job because of the job he's done, but more so because I just don't think he's the right man, full stop.
100%.
And that's not nothing against him.
Yeah.
I just think it's just the circumstances he's been put under.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the type of character or manager tactically to kind of deal with that.
So. And this is my thing, because I completely agree with that, right? But I ask every Chelsea fan that says this question, Who's the right character right now, then?
That's what I was just going to say. Is there any manager in world football that can deal with that? But having said that, I don't believe any manager in world football can deal with what Poch had to deal with at the time when he came in. But at the same time, I believe he can be doing better with the players he has.
And
so that's kind of my thing. It's like, bro, I know, bro. Like, it's hard, isn't it? You got players coming back. You got players that I heard, like, when Potter was there, there was players that were still they were getting ready, not in the dressing room.
Bro, the dressing room was too big.
You see what I'm saying?
But like, we're lucky with injuries. Say everybody was fit, we'd have the same situation. Yeah. Let's look at the squad that Lampard took when we were losing to Crystal, we lost to everyone at the end of last season, mm-hmm. right? Similar squad pretty much. Real disconnect between the players and the fans. I get what you're saying in that, like, he's not the right character, but he has brought this team to Wembley twice.
No,
this
100%.
Season, you know, 100%. And a lot of those players had zero confidence or zero connection to the fan bases. You have fans, some fans booing players on the sidelines, and he's had to come out and speak on their behalf. Remember what that job did to Potter?
Yeah.
Potter, great manager. We know tactically he's a great mind. If he had more time, he'd probably still be there now, right? Yeah. But this environment plays such a big role in whether or not you can do a job. And maybe, like you're saying, maybe Poch is going down that same Potter end where it is a great manager tactically, but it's the wrong environment for him.
Yeah, I always link back to United. Mm. And I feel like the managers we've had before, similar situation, couldn't deal with the situation.
Mm.
Simple as that. Like you said, Sir Jim came, done his interview and said that the five managers before Eric, they're not bad managers.
No. Everyone would have failed.
But there's certain clubs and situations that you walk in there, it's bigger than what you do on Saturday afternoon. And
then players have egos, and then they don't want to sit next to each other, they don't want to pass with each other. Remember that time when you lot had, what, was it Lingard, Ronaldo, Pogba? Bro,
Sancho.
Yeah, it was hell at United.
That's what I mean. You people don't realise that. And at the moment, I feel like we've got a manager that at the moment can kind of stay afloat.
Mm.
Whether he can go that next step, I don't know. And
I
link it back to Poch in terms, I don't know if he can stay afloat. Mm. That's my worry. But in touching on your point, in terms of who would you be able to bring in, you mentioned we needed someone to hold their hands and that. I mean, I agree with that. But when I use that analogy, I mean, I won't be able to give you a name, but I mean, no, he's another one that will drown.
Yeah.
No. Not to Chelsea, but
as like a hand-holding manager.
Do you get?
Yeah, but I think with Ollie, it worked with the group of players he had. If he was, if he had the similar group of players that Chelsea have at the minute, I don't think he will last very long. Mm. But I mean,
he won't last based on his ability to implement tactics, in my opinion.
That's what I mean.
But if you're talking about the feel-good factor and making players...
No, of course, but I feel like Poch has done that to a certain degree.
He's done that to a certain degree. And also, like, Poch is battling the ego-centric element to dealing with then the ownership. Mm. Because the ownership, Egbali's always in the dressing room.
Yeah.
You've got, like, you know, Todd Boehly always so visible on media. You've got... You look at the way Tuchel ended, right? It was... Yeah. Tuchel being told how to manage or how to do things by business, the hierarchy, and then there was a disconnect there. Yeah. So obviously the hierarchy want a level of respect and authority guided towards them by the manager. Mm. So then they brought in Poch who can do that, and then also want a team to tactically do very well, even though the manager has been given 11 new players to work with very quickly. So it's like, it is a very difficult situation at Chelsea. Then you've got a fan base that expects top four or expects a Premier League in the next couple of years or a Champions League.
That never helps.
It never helps.
Like you said, the last 20 years, been one of the top teams in the country. And when you manage all that, I feel like you said, he's playing so many roles at the moment. I feel like you just need... And it was unfortunate for him that he joined at a time where that's where all the players came in.
Mm.
Whereas now, if you were to give a new manager now, a manager can now walk into a squad and start planning. And I feel like someone who's, someone who's tactically astute, because the squad is so young, I feel like if you can find a manager that's so tactically astute, that's down to every single deal, that you can kind of teach these players how to come out and play your game or the way you want to play, I think will be a better suit. I don't want to say De Zerbi because I know...
I was going to say, you want to spend the bag on De Zerbi.
That was
because
the name.
Obviously, Brighton. I don't want to say another Brighton signing, but I mean, like, someone like him in terms of he can go in there and you know he's just going to drill it into the players. And I feel like that's what the group of players need rather than the kind of arm around the shoulder type.
And he plays young players. He gives them a chance. You already know.
Which is the majority of your squad.
It looks like it's going in that direction anyways. The rate in which we are hiring people from Brighton staff. The rate at which Brighton players are just like wearing Chelsea tops nowadays. Seems like we're buying the club alongside De Zerbi. He's the last piece of the puzzle. I do agree with that. I think De Zerbi gives me that sort of young Mourinho type energy where he was so confident in his style of play from young, came into a huge club and had to like really imprint his brand and his personality into an already difficult environment and thrived off of that difficult sort of space. And I think De Zerbi gives me all of that same sort of energy as a young Mourinho. I think he knows his pattern of play. He knows what he's done for Brighton and how he can, you know, bring the best players to a club. And I think he just needs a platform for him to be able to win regular titles and be at the top. And yeah, I think Chelsea would be probably an option for him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like with Poch, he kind of had the... He was already at a losing battle, in my opinion.
Mm.
With the work he did at PSG, he kind of lost kind of some of his stock. Mm. Then I feel like when he went to Chelsea, it was a, Poch is still around. Oh, because it was at the time where it was Ten Hag or Poch.
Yeah.
And at that time, fans were like, United fans were like, no chance. Even if it weren't Ten Hag, a lot of fans were like, no, not Poch. Yeah. Poch has already, I don't want to call it a failure, but ultimately he failed at Spurs, innit? Do you know what I mean? He was successful in the landscape of Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. But he failed. That's why he got sacked. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, ultimately, innit? So I feel like fans are just, a lot of fans that are saying Poch out, they're just saying Poch out because I feel like it's personal. I feel like
That's what it is.
Yeah, like.
Fans need to take the Spurs hatred out of it. Yeah. This is a job. People get paid money. Mm-hmm. Like, it ain't, I'll die for the badge or it's the worst thing in the world going to another club. If a club is offering you good money to come in, you'll go in this day and age. Like, and Poch, it was a good business decision for him to come back into football at a club like Chelsea.
Premier League.
You know how we spend money on players. Mm-hmm. Have a real transfer war chest. It made all the sense in the world. So, yeah, I'm still down to give him a chance.
No, I actually hear you, bro. I'm just disappointed in Poch because I like Poch as well. Mm. And I think he's a good tactician. Like, I feel like we talk about tactics and pressing and, do you know what I mean? A style of football that looks good on the eye.
Yeah.
That's Poch. And I believe...
There's been games,
but I feel like... It hasn't been enough for the. I feel like you guys have a good crop of young players.
That's the worry.
Yeah, really. When I look at your squad, I'm like.
But you can. Like I said, these young players, like, they can give you a 10 out of 10 performance on a Wednesday and give you three on Saturday.
Yeah, in experience.
Like, look at Mudryk. Mudryk looks like Hazard for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then looks like Hazard. Look at the goal look at the last goal he scored where he ran through the defence and finished it well. Like, he's got glimpses of world-class quality, but too much has happened in his life so far. For him to be able
them
to hold
Arsenal
down
and cooked him. Hey, they appearances. Cooked him.
Big time.
Hey.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like a manager can walk in and look at that squad that I've got to my disposal.
Yeah.
I don't think you're gonna sign players at the same rate, of course not. Like, I feel like it'll be a much quieter summer, maybe two or three. But yeah,
Do you know what we need? We need
three to four
26 to 29-year-olds Premier League ready players that can make up your spine. You need people that know how to, when you're 2-1 up, knows how to manage a game so that you win it. You need people that when you're 1-0 up to teach you how to kill the game off. These Chelsea players right now, they have all of the star quality to like show you it in glimpses, but they don't have leaders that have been there for a whole season that can tell you actually how to manage a game psychologically over the course of a 90 minutes.
So, off the top of your head, quickly, who would you get rid of? Five players you'll get rid of.
Wow. Five players I get rid of from?
Straight.
From this
your
current squad.
From your squad.
All right, cool. Yeah. Five players, I'm going to say, it's tough.
You've got so many.
We got Bear. David Washington, I think, needs.
Oh my!
David, I love it. honestly, you've done well in glimpses, but you need to grow up, man. You need to just go Strasbourg.
We'll do a couple
seasons there. Bro, like, let's not forget what Vitesse did for players, fam. You lot have got a player that was a Vitesse legend. Mason Mount. you got Mason Mount, Vitesse legend.
Yeah,
you got
that's your legend. Ribbon don't off forget. The cheek.
Listen, Strasbourg is needed for a few of these players because I don't think they're ready yet. I'd actually send maybe Mudryk out on loan.
Okay. And that's an interesting one.
Yeah, just like, you know, go and play.
But you don't think... There's a lot of noise around Mudryk. A lot of money's been spent, a lot of talent there.
100%.
So you think...
Take the noise away. Go and play in the French league. Go and score me 15 goals and play 30 games plus. Like, he needs a loan. I love Kani Chukwuemeka so much. I think he's great. I wouldn't lose him. I'd lose Ugo Chukwu.
Who has come
in, unfortunately been injured. Again, I don't even know what injury he's got, but he's just not got a return date. So I'd get him out on loan. I think Thiago, I think it's time for him. We need to grow a new crop of centre backs.
I feel like you could have even said another five.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You could say three to five in every position.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
We've got centre backs there that.
But that's what is where do you think you can strengthen? Because I'm not even joking. When I look at your squad,
It's bloated.
Or 11 more so. There's not any real like standout weaknesses.
You think?
Not like De Gea. Not really.
Yeah, but when I look at their squad, I'm like. Quality wise,
no, but I'm like
not depth. We know they've got depth.
No. I'm talking about if you name your best 11 right now, I think that's a really solid 11. So I'm just interested to know where you'd want to strengthen with those 26 or 29 year olds.
With us, like, you need to strengthen with injuries in mind, because like you can name our best 11, but they've never played together.
Yeah.
So I think for us, we need a proper centre back. Who we can rely on that's like a real talent. Quite like a sort of Cahill type, coming from Bolton Young, stayed and became a mainstay for a lot of years. So we need that sort of signing, and we need to get rid of a few that just haven't been playing enough because it's just bloated. In terms of fullbacks, I think both our left backs have been injured quite often. And so there needs to be a decision made, an understanding on, you know, it can Chilwell do a season. Does he need more support? Is Cucurella the right sort of backup? Mm-hmm. Or is there somebody else that we need to look at? Obviously, Matson's probably going to go because of the pure profit. Mm-hmm. Same with Gallagher, same with Chalobah. Yeah. Like, same with Broja. All of these youngsters from the Chelsea Academy are probably going to go. In midfield, I think there needs to be better balance. I don't know if a midfield of Gallagher, Enzo and Caicedo is quite working.
Can I ask you about Enzo?
I like him.
No. Yeah. I like him. I like him.
I just want to, before you ask, in fact, shoot away, brother.
Gives me the same vibes as Pogba.
I thought you were going to say Andres Pereira.
No. This guy.
Loud.
Gives me the same vibes as Pogba, not stylistically or anything like that. I know they were similar price, but I mean in terms of where you see him in the team, because there was a lot of questions. Pogba can't play in a two, push him further forward, and I feel like there's same question marks about Enzo. Obviously the talent's there, the quality's there. I know there is, but. Yeah, just to get the best out of him, really, because I don't think we've seen it.
Nah, I think we're struggling to see it as well. Mm. When he plays in a two, he can sometimes go missing quite a lot. And it's like, I think what we're asking him to do is like take on the responsibility, step forward and score goals. Go and assist the assister. Like, actually drift more into the 10 and let's see what you can do in that sort of space. But he doesn't want to do that. Mm. And that leaves Caicedo often quite isolated, I feel. And their relationship, you know, as much as it looks good at points on paper, I still don't feel like they've got the best sort of balance between them. I think for Enzo, the challenge is, we know he's good. He's a World Cup winner. We know how well he plays for Argentina. But like, for you to stamp on world-class status at a club, you need to step up and you need to be one of the best performers on that pitch week in, week out. Mm. You've got an unlikely situation where everybody else is young, raw talents and you're
the main man.
Mm-hmm. You're one of the main men. So like, make Chelsea your club. You've seen what Hazard had to do. You've seen what people like Joe Cole had to do, Zola. Like, you've seen those big giants within the team. Go and paint your name in that vein. If you believe that you're world class. So yeah, I like him a lot, but I'm not gonna go quickly enough to say that he's the greatest thing ever right now. Just
you
because
think he's capable of that.
Yeah,
of,
absolutely. Because I see him switch it on for Argentina all the time. And it's like, this is a different player. Maybe
but that's what I mean. Pogba used to switch it on for France.
For
you
France.
Get it.
But so that guy had Kante next to him. And that's anyone's cheat code. But and more to the point that I said before, if we'd have kept somebody like a Kante or like a Cover one more season, like a Jorginho, imagine Enzo next to a Jorginho. Look at Jorginho doing now for those midfielders at Arsenal. It's a huge difference a bit of experience makes for making people really flourish into their potential, I feel.
It's interesting though, because I actually think it's down to tactics why Caicedo and Enzo are not getting the best out of each other. Mm. Caicedo, maybe I'm wrong in it, but I never saw Caicedo as a lone six or like mad deep. I just saw him as an engine getting forward, defending, going forward, breaking lines with his surging runs.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem that Enzo. I think Enzo don't even know his best position. Mm. I think Poch don't know Enzo's best position. Then you have Caicedo that's playing deep with Enzo that is deep. That they're both playing in a double pivot that's deep. But then Enzo is better as an eight as well.
100%.
It's a bit weird.
And then where do you fit Gallagher?
Nowhere.
And what, because you've got two energetic guys running in midfield in Caicedo and Gallagher.
You can even say three guys.
And then Enzo kind of fitting in between that. Then you've got Ugo Chukwu, and you've got Lavia, who nobody has seen. Like, he came on for like 10, 15 minutes, and then his thigh went again. So you've still got a Lavia-type character to come in. I just, it really lacks balance. And when I look at historic Chelsea teams, one of the things that we always had down was our midfield. We always knew who those characters were from, you know, the days where, you know, it was Lampard surging through, or it was Joe Cole, or it was Matic and Kante year.
Behind Enzo.
Behind Enzo, you know what you're going to get. And so, for us, I think there's a real loss of identity. We've got players that are like, could be those players, but they're not ready yet. And so that's why we're struggling.
So before we move on, what's next for Chelsea? Like, in the short term, even in the long term, like do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what's
what
next?
What are you thinking? Yeah.
More drama, more chaos. I just think a few players are going to start stepping up. Cole Palmer,
baller.
Look at his numbers.
Baller.
The one.
Right? About to get a new contract now.
Deserved.
Is chasing Bellingham type numbers.
Mm-hmm. And Saka.
Comfortably showing that City might have genuinely made a mistake.
They 100% made a mistake.
100%.
110% they made a
mistake. If I'm looking at that objectively, I look at that situation, a lot of people are going to cook me for this, but I actually think that, I don't know about, I worry about Phil Foden's development at Man City and whether or not he will reach his own potential there. And I actually feel like Cole Palmer, for the job that he does on the right for Chelsea and what we know he's capable of in terms of scoring goals, in terms of creating chances from open play, I actually think him in a City right now would probably be working a bit better than Foden. And I think they're going to, a few more years of their career, they're going to be pinned up against each other in terms of level of impact.
Yeah, I've been saying it's because City do so well week in, week out. People ain't going to pick up, selling Palmer was a mistake. You never hear anyone mentioning that. Whereas if we done it, or you guys done it the other way, it would have been screamed at.
World War III.
And I definitely think they've made a mistake. Obviously, they've got Doku and they've got, like you said, Foden, like you said, is not progressing as you maybe think he would have. And it was a weird one because he scored in the Super Cup final before he left. He was doing well in the banger in the Community Shield. Done really well in pre-season. So I thought that was his season to break through. That was very strange. And I think I'm confident enough saying it's a mistake already.
I think he's got a point to prove at Chelsea. So I think, in terms of what's next for us, you're going to start seeing characters step up. I'm loving what I'm seeing from De Zerzi. He might not be necessarily the most greatest. Gifted, but the passion is definitely there. Cole Will, I think with the right sort of exposure to centre back position and not left back, I think you're going to start seeing big bits from him. Going to start seeing, obviously, Cole Palmer just continue to get better and better. And then one of those midfielders are going to need to start figuring it out. And we're going to need to see our injured players start to build their Chelsea careers. Like, what's Nkunku going to do when he comes back, you know? What are we going to see with Lavia if he does come back? Like, is Broja, what are we going to be doing about Broja and all these type players? So, it's going to be interesting to say the least, but you'll start seeing some players coming through for the club.
Fair enough, man. We look forward to never seeing that.
What about you guys, though? You got Copy. Big Copy. Big Copy is here. I'm coming.
What were you saying?
So, for you lot, tell me, like, when's your next trophy coming?
This season, hopefully.
No, be honest. Bro, when's your next?
This season, hopefully, we're going to be in a FA Cup final. You lot need to worry about that first.
What happened the last one?
We are going to beat Coventry.
What happened in the last final?
In the last final, we lost to probably the best team in England.
Unprovoked. Yeah. Unprovoked.
So what now? What if you meet them again?
If they beat us again?
If you meet them again, I didn't say beat. Hey.
No, we are going to meet them again because you're. We are going to meet them again because you're not going to be there.
That's fine.
Do you get?
But will you win?
Yeah. If we get City in this final, we'll beat them.
Have you beat He looked down, he looked in the eyes, the pain in his eyes. Wow.
Say it again. Right in the camera.
But believe
which
it.
One? Which
believe
one?
It.
Unprovoked.
Hey, I went Ray Charles there, Chris.
Wow. Honestly, like.
Hey, listen.
Because in my mind, I actually don't think you win anything for another 3 years.
Interesting.
That's a fair. I'm not gonna sit here and say what this guy said. So I think that's a fair opinion.
All I'm gonna say in response to that is football changes quickly. Look at Arsenal.
What? That's a 20-year journey, bro.
No, as in you would have thought you think we're mad far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. And I believe football can change in a season and a half. That's just how it is. Like. I know, United are in the mud, etc., and we're performing badly, etc. But just like you lot, you believe in some of your young players, etc. So essentially, you think things can switch in a certain amount of time, no?
Nah, but your players are different. Like, you guys, your recruitment strategy has been all over the place for the best part of the last 10 years.
Oh, no, yeah, we got a hope.
The benefit is we actually have academy players that come into our team. We don't just ship them out.
Yeah. Name the ones that have...
Garnacho.
Yeah.
Rashford.
Yeah.
Can't say my man's name. He's gone.
Okay.
That's good enough, no?
And Kobe.
You get it.
Go on. Kobe. Continue.
Yeah.
That's good enough, no?
That's good enough. Yeah, absolutely. What's Rashford doing?
I mean, he scored 30 goals last season. This season, he's not playing well.
Are you happy to just keep Rashford? Him? Are you going to keep him or are you selling him?
Personally, I believe that if Rashford is going to be a starter, I think he should go. I think if he wants a role where he's in the squad and he's, you know what I mean? Cool. But me personally, I'm off that train still.
I think time is up for him, man. I don't know what you lot are waiting for, but like, it's done. Yeah, I think that guy is a PSG player if I've ever seen one. And I think you need to cash out. Just because, you know... Again, it's the inconsistency. He can be world class on his day and give you 30 goals as he has done. Mm. But I don't know what it is at the start of this season. Just doesn't feel like he's been himself. He doesn't feel like he's been as engaged. You've had other players struggling at the same time. But how long will we be waiting for Rashford's potential to hit?
Yeah, personally, I love him. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, bro, like I'm basically watching him through me kind of thing, like,
You know what I mean? Like, you're playing for the team that man loves, etc. Like, you know what I mean? You're kind of like us, like, do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of the way you move, etc. But, bro, United comes first, innit? And on the pitch, you're not doing good enough to warrant, in my opinion, a space, bro, in the starting 11. So when it's coming to that, and then you're on 300 and you're 300 odd bags, bro, think something's got to give. You're scoring a worldie against City, but in my opinion, apart from that, you didn't really do much in that game.
Mm.
Yeah, man, it's just annoying right now because it's like, bro, I want you to do so well, but like, I've been saying this for how long, bro? So yeah, that's me still. Personally.
Who in your like full squad is like genuinely doing well? Like that is in terms of in your opinion, like,
this season.
Yeah, this season.
Go on.
Dalo.
Okay. Do you think he's got a future at United?
Yeah.
I think he's our right back.
Yeah. Okay. I don't. If Ten Hag stays, I think if not, I think we might try and upgrade that position, but Dalot will still be there, in my opinion.
All right then, so Dalot.
But at the moment, that's pretty much it. Obviously, Kobbie and Rasmus up top. I'd say Rashford too.
Yeah.
I've got a different opinion. So yeah, I'd say around them four for sure.
What's the problem then? Because like, it's been such a long time now. We've been on this replacing Sir Alex Ferguson agenda for the best part of nearly 12-15 years.
Well, like I said at the beginning, it's been a place where a manager's not wanted to come in and work, really and truly, if we're being honest. I think they've come in here because it's Man United.
Yeah.
And the allure of Man United, I can change it, I can turn it around, blah blah blah. But if we were to break it down to them that this is how you're gonna work, this is the support you're gonna have, forget it's United, would you take the job? All of them will say no.
Mm.
So that's been the matter over the last 10 years or so. Obviously we're getting some change of ownership, etc.
Yeah.
So you're hoping that I think that's played a major part in our downfall. Mm. So hopefully there's a plan from the top down with whatever manager's in charge, and hopefully it goes from there. Because I don't think that's been the case. I think it's been an absolute shambles from that space from the top to the manager. It's been a joke. So you can't win anything working like that. So
on a positive note, things are changing though, because there's been reports that they want to change the manager role to a head coach. Something like that might seem so little to many, but just the title of those two names show
things are going in the right position.
That their thinking is they just want not a manager, a coach the team.
Yeah.
That's you don't talk in press conferences, bro. All your answers need to be, I don't deal with that.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying. It's not a.
So you're not wanting like a director of football. You're wanting everything.
I want a plan. I think it's just been no plan.
Yeah,
and for me, it's impossible for you to win. You just have to look at City.
Yeah,
and you see there's a plan, and there's a plan from top to bottom.
How does that feel like watching City, like you know, take your treble? You know what?
I thought it'd be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think a lot of it, I just look at them and it doesn't feel organic, doesn't feel real. So I think that plays a part. I think the charges sitting over their head, I just doesn't really hit. If it was Liverpool on the other hand, I think, I feel it'll be a completely different feeling. But I just feel, the feeling around them, I don't know, just makes it not hit that deep, if I'm being honest. So, the initial hit, like when they won the treble, the initial hit, it hurt. But
well, where were you lot when you saw that happen? Where were you? I just want to know.
It's probably sleeping.
You're sleeping on Champions League final day. Yeah. There's no way you were sleeping.
I went missing though. I can't lie.
Yeah,
I was gone still, but.
No, but I think it's a point to be said. And I think, like you guys said, like there's things happening in the background. Yeah. Jim Ratcliffe, who's come in, he actually likes football. He likes the idea of managing your club. Yeah. Your previous owners didn't. Exactly. He probably wants to redevelop the theatre of dreams because that's crumbling right now.
Yeah.
But then also at the same time, you got the new CEO. You got the CEO from Barada. City.
Yeah,
and he's come over. Mm-hmm. So like you're making good steps in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you need... players need to love playing for Man United again, and they need to feel like they died for the badge. I think the issue with the amount of changes since the Alex Ferguson days is there was a loss of love or what it meant to play for United. And so players were just coming there, playing week in, week out, but weren't that passionate about the fact that you weren't doing well or playing very well. And it created a toxic environment. I think Ten Hag, bless him, he's tried hard and he's done well to like steady the ship and like bring some authority back in. But similarly to probably some of the points you said about Poch, is he the right sort of character now? I don't know. And with some great managers becoming available soon.
Is Gareth Southgate one of those great managers?
Yeah, mate, he's destined for your club, man. He is destined for your club.
He definitely is not.
If I could see a move in the summer happening, and Southgate to United.
If Southgate comes to United,
you won't win anything for 10 years.
I don't even know what I would be able to say.
Okay.
What, you wanted
no, 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 I'm just saying. I wasn't expecting you to say that. You said you won't win nothing for the next 10 years. Okay.
Listen, on that note, let's wrap it up. I don't, no manifestation. I'm not trying to talk things into existence. Forget about that. There's no Southgate at United. Listen, on that note.
Okay, who do you want?
I'm still with Ten Hag.
Okay. You want to stay with him?
Yeah. Still with Ten Hag. See how things, you know, go.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So given you just said that, though, about Gareth Southgate, I'm good to assume that you don't think he's right for England either.
I think he's a great development manager. I think he's been brilliant for England so far. But like for England to win the tournament, it seems like we need another level. It seems like, you know.
So no chance to Euros with him in charge?
Like,
or is there, there's not a world that you can see it? Because there's no world I see it.
Yeah, there's no world. There's like,
honestly, there's no world I see him come up against a tactically astute manager and being able to get the best out of the players. What he's got is probably one of the most talented England generations we've probably ever had. He's got a Real Madrid monster in midfield. And
monsters everywhere.
Being honest. And you need a tactician to figure out like how to use these tools.
I saw Germany rock up to France this weekend.
Yeah.
And I just can't see us ever playing the way they did and going to France and bullying them tactically. And it was an easy 2-0 win. That's just one example.
Mm.
I could use so many others. And that's just a friendly.
Mm.
And we had Brazil, who, we were missing some players, but they were missing a whole host of players as well.
Mm.
And it just looked like... And that's how it's felt. Not the whole time. I think the last World Cup felt like that a little bit. Before that, it was great vibes, and he's brought a great feeling back to the country, etc. Mm. But ever since that World Cup, I think that was a World Cup too many. And then after that, it's just felt like a balloon's been popped. And I just think because there's a level that's been hit now, and I think that's the highest he can go.
Mm.
And like you said, I think he's been absolutely brilliant. Like, we got to remember what England was before him. And a lot of people discredit that because they think he's rubbish and he's not going to win any trophies and that. So I don't want to forget that because I think, again, he's someone we've needed as a country.
Mm.
But, not just this Euros, but the World Cup, I think it was a step too far. It reminded me a bit like Ollie. So, like you said.
Nah, listen, hey, Southgate, we love you. Okay? We love, appreciate, and respect everything. You got us wearing England shirts again. Okay, yeah? Took us a long time. But we've got to keep moving. We've got to keep moving.
My thing is you're still calling up players.
Oh, God. My thing is.
bro, you're calling up Jordan Henderson. You're calling up Gallagher. There's more names in it, but just those two names just shows you cannot have the keys. You can't. We have two. Bro, you can't. Like, Southgate's making me people asking me, what, do you support England? And I'm hesitating.
Yeah.
When I support England.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because I don't feel safe with him being in charge of the crop of talent we have. Yeah. It's impossible for Southgate to do it.
Yeah.
I think his head hurts every day, like he's trying to pick a team sheet when an actual tactician will be like, nah, we don't, the whole world wants to see Dekkers, Foden, all these players. But nah, that's if not I how was, gonna do that's not gonna be nice.
If I was Pep or if I was Arteta right now, or if I was Ancelotti and I'm looking at this crop of players, I'm thinking I could win this trophy with my eyes closed.
100%.
It's so easy. I've got the perfect balance of players and title winning players, experience and just youth talent to be able to crush any team. But like, that's a mindset that I just don't think Southgate has.
And
right
I just tactically as well.
Yeah.
One mindset, I agree with that, but I just think tactically he can't. People are crying for a midfield of Dekkers, Bellingham and Foden, and that's all well and good, but I don't think he's got it to play that midfield out. I think if he was to play that midfield out, we'll get absolutely ran through.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think he's tactically got it, and that's part of the problem. And like you said, yeah, there's obviously you name drop two, but there's situations where you're like, why are you calling up that? Yeah. Or why are you not calling up him? And that doesn't help either. And then obviously the Ben White situation, like who's, I think, been outstanding, who should be in the England squad. So I just, like I said, there's a step and I just don't think he can
get there. Literally. All right, so then between the two of you lot, like who would be the starting England 11 that you'd take to the Euros?
Well, with Southgate, not with think.
Like, I want you to think as
I'm Gareth Southgate, and given Gareth Southgate's best opportunity, I think it will
start with goalkeeper.
Obviously Pickford.
Yeah,
I think I will go Kyle Walker.
Yeah,
Maguire, Stones, Shaw.
Yeah,
Rice will have to be Cobbie. Like I said, I would like the midfield that I mentioned, but like I said, I don't think he will be able to run with that.
Mm.
So yeah, Rice and Cobbie, and I'd go Saka, Bellingham, Rashford, and Kane.
Nice.
Same to be honest.
And that's because I don't think he can get the best out of Foden as well.
Mm.
It'll be interesting. But Southgate. We hope he can do something in the Euros, man. You know what I mean? It's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, bro.
Like, yeah, man.
It means a lot to me. Like, trust me, bro. It means a lot to us. You know what I mean?
Listen.
Went to school with you. You know what I mean? Like, seen your journey. It's been amazing to see, bro. Like, so yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming on, man.
No, thank you for having me, guys. And yeah, super proud of what you're doing. And yeah, anytime. No,
cheers, bro. Thank you, man.
All right.
That's another video on Field of Play TV. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, all of that good stuff, man. Make sure your notification bells are on so you never miss a drop. Peace.